Blog Talk Radio.
To the Care to Read Room. You have your only G7 in the house, your advisor, the one you need, and your advocate, the one you certainly want. I'd like to welcome you to another one of our segments. We are working on near-fight training. This is a program that's been underwritten by Project 2019. We are a family and consumer organization, and we'd like to welcome each and every one of you. We'd like to say hello to our friends who join us on a regular basis, and we like to say welcome, alafia, to those new listeners, and we invite you to also be a friend. Drop me a line or two indicating you want to be a friend, and I will respond to you. Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us on this segment, and as you know, we have been teaching on near-fight training. Our prior training that we were discussing was the four souls and how the four souls are divided. And what happens to the souls? And we're going to continue on that path to discuss the division of those four souls, giving you more foundational information about IFA training, about African traditional religion. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, African traditional religion. And for those of you who are quite familiar with all of the denominations that are out there, the icon, for those of you who are not familiar, then I invite you to be a part of this segment because we are working with family training. Training and identifying the character and roles for the family, for the father, the mother, and the child. We're trying to give each family an opportunity to go back to their roots, to get a traditional viewpoint of what roles we are to play in the family. And as you know, Omi did go over the near-fight training for those two initiates who transition into rites of passage. We are going to be giving their names, their second names, next week, so you definitely want to tune in to those shows. We are not here on Saturday and Sunday, only Monday through Friday. And sometimes when we're leaving and I'm so excited, I'll say, stay tuned and meet me here tomorrow. What I really mean is Monday through Friday. So if you want to set your dates and your phone numbers, that number here is 646-478-0270. You might want to jot that number down, and we invite you in with your questions when we have our question and answering segment. And right now, I'm going to get ready to clean myself up for our traditional ritual, our African traditional ritual. And as you know, we do call on the ancestors in this world. We make no apologies for that. We call on our ancestors so that they can support us, give us their ashe, helping us with the prayer so that we will be able to get a prayer through. And when we commune with our ancestors, this is not worshiping ancestors. This is communing with them, inviting them in. And as you know, we also said that they were very polite creatures. We ring a bell, and we alert them and ask them to be a part of our service. We are not boastful. And they are very, very courteous, and they make the choice to come and join us. We include our families to reconnect ourselves back to our families so that we will never forget their name. Now, you must understand that the dead is always, always looking for the living, and the living is up to the living to stay in touch with the dead. And if we are to reconnect our families back together, we must say that there is no dead, that if there's only a recycling of our elders and ancestors. When they go on to eldership, at the point of going to eldership, we know that they come back in the form of a child. And when they come back in the form of a child, that means that it's a reincarnation process, that they cannot die. Yes, we do believe in reincarnation. Africans have always believed that they could not die. And reincarnation, immortality, was what we aspire to become in our eldership, then in our ancestorship, and then immortality with our children coming back, our ancestors coming back in the form of a baby. Yes, that's why the child is so important. And when that child comes back, sometimes they have features and characteristics just like our elders, because they might have come back through that elder and reintroducing themselves to the family. So be careful how you treat a child. Put that child at the center of the link. And remember, that child could be an ancestor. And in our ancestral communing, and we don't want to say worship, ancestral communing, it's a nomenclature when you hear the word ancestral worshiping. There's no such thing as ancestral communing. And we do not worship any deity. We commune with them. Now, as I also told you, the names of the gods, the three godheads, Elede, Olorun, and Oladulamare. And then you have your guardian angel, which is also a god, that is Ori. I want you to fix those four names in your mind, ladies and gentlemen. We also talked a little bit about your shrine, having a shrine that is grounded to the floor, somewhere preferably in the corner. If you haven't already done so, you might want to fix your shrines up by adding your 9 glasses of water. And we have discussed those various features that you might want to add to your shrine. And there are a number of things that you can put there, the names of your ancestors, flowers. You want to use a fermented drink, which could be alcohol, something to ground your ancestral shrine. And you also want to make sure that you put the things on your altar that your family members once loved. And not forgetting pictures that you might want to put on there. You definitely want to call their names, have a list of their names, and do this so your children can see the tradition and pass it down on to your children, and they can pass it down to the third and the fourth and the fifth generation. Your ancestors will bless you for it, and they will come to support you. And you can even go to the graveyard to summon your ancestors. Zora Neale Hurston was very, very vivid and going to the graveyard to summon her ancestors to be a part of a prayer. I thought that was so unique and so very powerful, because what better place to find your elders than in a graveyard where they might be buried? Once again, this is not spooky Bill, ladies and gentlemen, and this is not to spook you out, but this is to keep you connected so that you will understand Africans do things in duality with both partners. And they're always perfecting, trying to get more better, and more better. And as we get better at what we're doing, we become an expert, a professional at doing our rituals. And don't think that it's strange, ladies and gentlemen. Periodically, I'm invited places to do rituals, and oftentimes have been asked to do rituals and traditions for governmental organizations. That's right. It is a profession, teaching our people about customs and tradition. You're not dealing with a neophyte right now. You're dealing with a professional and dealing with teaching African history and teaching ancient history and metaphysics to students as well as adults. So you're not dealing with a lightweight. What I'm teaching you is training that I've gathered from all of my notes and materials over the many years that I've studied African religion and traditional heritage. I am a member of the African Study of Civilization. You ought to also become a member of ASCAT. ASCAT is an organization that takes tour groups all over Africa and various places and back and forth to the continent of Africa. I have been fairly inactive with ASCAP, but would like to be more active and to do some more traveling and be involved with them. You can also seek out ASCAP, the African Study of Civilization. It would allow you to gain knowledge about various different heritage and different customs and traditions in the different African faiths. And Ifa is just one of them, but there are various many African traditions. Ifa is one of the most profound ones that you will find that includes all races of people. You will find Caucasians in Ifa as well, and Hispanics. They're all over the continent, ladies and gentlemen. Now, some of you might have asked, what about Asar Aset? Is that similar to what Ifa is? Yes, it is. The only difference is the names and the structure of the various different deities. However, the main structure that is laid out for the hierarchy is pretty much the same. Now, that's why that one African religion can interchange with another. They just need to change the names of their deity and their prophets. But nevertheless, you are assigned a personal God. Now, let me look out in the audience, ladies and gentlemen. If you'll just bear with me, I need to go find my elder so she can give me permission to speak. And I've probably said too much already because she is watching me, and mother, sister is always watching. And I want to apologize to the elder because I may have spoken and said too much. Elder, do I have permission to speak at this time?
Yes, by all means, you do have permission to speak.
Thank you so much, Elder. And I'm going to go over here to my Baba to ask my Baba to extend a hand and helping me to wash my hands and my elbows and getting myself cleaned up because I am in the process of standing on holy ground. So if your area is not clean, you might want to clean your hands and get yourself ready because we are going to purify the ground. Baba, will you please pour water to the ground first because this ground has got to be cleared. Pour that water there. You can pour one drop to that ground. Just one drop, Baba. Just drop one ground. On the ground. Down on the ground. There you go. There you go. And go ahead and continue to wash the hand. Ah, yes. Okay. Thank you, Baba. Thank you for purifying. Am I purified?
You are purified.
Thank you so very much for that purification. Ladies and gentlemen, excuse me while I just dry my hands off here. Even though we wash our face and hands when we get up in the morning because we do not want to greet our ancestors with a stale face, the prayer has to be sanctioned, and it has to be sanctified. And in sanctifying the prayer, you must clean yourself, and you must not do a full bathing, but you definitely want to pour water to the ground. And if you are out in the lagoon, you will probably want to pour water to the north, south, east, and west. I pour libations to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And if you are out in the lagoon, Oladula Maray, please come and join us. If you are out in the rivers, Oladula Maray, please come and join us. If you are out in the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, please come and join us. And if you are delivering a child, and the child is on his way, please come and join us. If you are fighting your way back from the underworld, please come and join us. Ancestors, oh ancestors, please come and join us. Please be a part of the ritual today. We need your Ashe ancestors. Thank you for being a part and for hearing our prayer as we call on your name today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to get ready for the libation here. And if you can beg your pardon for 1 minute, you can hold for 1 second here.
Thank you.
ancestors, from Portly ancestors, please come and join us. Take up your places. Take up your places. Let us stand on your shoulders today, ancestors. Come quickly, ancestors, come quickly. Quickly. Ancestors, please allow us to sit with you today. Oh, ancestors, be a part of this picture today. Ancestors, we thank you. We pay homage to you. Homage comes to pass. Homage comes to pass. All homage comes to pass. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for participating in that ritual. And you do likewise when you are about to pour libation and call on the ancestors. I like to call on my heroes and sheroes at this time and invite them to be a part of our ceremony. I call on the name of Louis Armstrong, and I say, Ashe. Leontine Price, Ashe. Coretta Scott King, Ashe. Dr. Charles Drew, Ashe. Booker T. Washington, Ashe. Benjamin Banneker, Ashe. W.E.B. Du Bois, Ashe. I call on the name of Nat Turner, Ashe. I call on the name of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Ashe. Malcolm X, Ashe. I call on Garvey, Ashe. I call on the name of Mary McLeod Bethune, Ashe. Madam C.J. Walker, Ashe. And Zora Neale Hurston, Ashe. I like to call on Robert Jenkins, my father, Ashe. My mother's spirit, Clara Mae Jenkins, Ashe. Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. Excuse me, Essie Lee Pope, Ashe. Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. Ruby Bracken, Ashe. Clifford Bracken, Ashe. I call on the name of Bessie Lily, Ashe. Nisho Lily, Ashe. Isa Lily, Ashe. George Lily, Ashe. Sam Lily, Ashe. Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. Ruby Bracken, Ashe. Michael Harvey, Ashe. And Michelle Harvey, Ashe. So let it be, so let it be known unto all who are present here today. Congregation, if you bow your heads with me as I offer up a prayer for the ancestors, we're remembering that we are not worshiping ancestors, but we are paying homage to them. Baba Ine, Ni Ashe Ine, one father is one Ashe. Iya Ine, Ashe, one mother is one Ashe. Ori Ine, Ashe, one Ori is one Ashe. Iking Ine, Ashe, one Iking is one Ashe. Oladulamare Ine Ashe, the Supreme God is Ashe. Ashe Mojubao, Ashe Mojubao, Ashe Mojubao. All primordial forces, I praise you. All primordial forces, I praise you. All primordial forces, I praise you. Baba, Iba Baba, Iba Yeye, homage, Father, homage, Mother, Iba Baba, Iba Yeye, homage, Father, homage, Mother, Iba Yeye Baba, homage to Mother, homage to Father, Ori, Ori, Omi, Ori, Omi, Ori, Baba, Omi, my Ori, save me, my Father. Mojuba, Mojuba, I praise you, Mojuba, I praise you, Mojuba. May there be a blessing added to the prayer. O humala ilede o oludulamare. O humala ilede oludulamare. I praise you. Today is the offspring of Olafin. Tomorrow is the offspring of Olafin. The day after tomorrow is the offspring of Olafin. He who brings spreads over the whole entity of the earth. The owner of the mat that is never folded up. The prosperous person who is willing and wise. The king, the almighty. Oladulamare, the supreme being. The king whose work are done in precaution. Olarum alone is wise. The king who dwells above the executive judge in silence. Homage, O, Mojuba, Mojuba, homage, O, Mojuba, homage, O, Mojuba, Mojuba. Now, I'd like to say the family pledge that we have been reciting by Dr. Maya Angelou and also our pledge for the flag. The Black Family Pledge. Because we have forgotten our ancestors, our children no longer give us honor. Because we have lost the path, our ancestors clear, kneeling, and perilous undergrowth. Our children cannot hear us crying because we have abandoned our wisdom of mothering and fathering. Our befuddled children give birth to children they neither want nor understand. Because we have forgotten how to love the adversity is within our gates and holds up the mirror of the world shouting, regard the loneliest. Therefore, we pledge to bind ourselves to one another, to embrace one loneliest, to keep company with our loneliest, to educate our illiterate, to feed our starving, to clothe our ragged, to do all good things, knowing that we are more than keepers of our brothers and sisters. In fact, we are our brothers and sisters in honor of those who toil and explore God with golden tongues and gratitude to the same God who brought us out of hopelessness and desolation. We make this pledge today, here and now, on the Monday. We make this pledge, and we say, to God be the glory. May God add a blessing to the word, and may my words be acceptable. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, O my Lord, my Redeemer, and my strength. And we thank you for the opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to be here with us and occasionally recite prayers for your children and teach them how to pray. Here's to this flag of mine, the red, black, and green. Hopes in its future bright, Africa has seen. Here's to the red of it, great nations shall know of it. In time to come, red, black shall flow of it. Historians shall write of it, great flag of mine. Here's to the black of it, 400 million back of it. Whose destiny depend on it, the red, black, and green of it, O flag of mine. Here's to the green of it, young men shall dream of it, face shot and shelled of it, maidens shall sing of it, waving so high. Here's to the whole of it, colors broad and pole of it, pleased is my soul with it, regardless of what is told of it, and thanks to God for giving it, great flag of mine. Ladies and gentlemen, in the manner that I've just taught you to teach your children ritual, teach them affirmations as well. Give them a challenge in life so that they have something to hold on to. And show them that families stay together through their traditions and rituals. I'd like to go to station identification right now, and we'll be right back at you in the air.
Oh, the message to our brothers and sisters.
Tell me about this Black Study Group.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming back and meeting us in the air. We definitely do appreciate your time, and we'll borrow your airwaves for approximately 1 hour. I'd like to recite the evening prayer for the near sight so that they'll remember the morning prayer is vital as well as the evening prayer. In the evening, in this manner, you would want to pray before you prostrate yourself before the God Almighty. You must remember that prayer is in order, and that's what this training mainly is about, to teach you how to pray. This evening, most holy and blessed Lord, O Romulus, it is one more and again that we few come together and are as a humble servant have to come before you with knees bent and bodies bowed in the most humble manner that we know. We want to thank you for blessing us, Lord, for our last night's lying down and our morning's rising. We thank you for watching over us all night long while we slumbered and slept. We want to thank you for giving us our faculties. We want to thank you for waking us up this morning, clothing us in our right minds, and with our proper exercise of our limbs. We are thankful to the many thousands that have gone up on those shoulders who we have stood. We pray blessings, Lord, that they rise and they rise forevermore. We pray bless, Lord, that they rise forever higher in the spiritual realm of Oladulamare. We pray blessings, Lord, that they abide forever with the inner court of heaven in the presence of Oladulamare, the Almighty God, the Almighty God, the Lord of all worlds. We pray that the countless millions who died during the catalyst will find their way back home. We pray that they find a cool place with plenty of shade. We pray that they find a holy land filled with peace and love. We pray that our unborn children will find a better place down here in the unsure suffering market. We pray that you continue to protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger. We pray that you continue to bless us with blessings forever and evermore. Help us to stay on the path of righteousness, truth, and understanding. We pray that the eye opener will open our eyes so that we can see. Open our eyes, Lord, so that we can see. And the spirit does not die, ladies and gentlemen. If we continuously make that statement, then spirit will stay alive. If we continue to make that religious and philosophical statement throughout our ritual, if we remember that the physical death cannot occur and that spirit does not die, it is important for us to remember that. Now, remember, ladies and gentlemen, I told you last week that we chose to come here. We had a destiny. Each and every one of you have a destiny. And what Ifa believes is that your destiny was written at the time of inception, and Orumala was present there at the right hand of God who witnessed your destiny, and you asked him to come here. So you determine your destiny, ladies and gentlemen. You define your destiny. Now, I have a few questions that I wanted to ask the listening audience. We went over these questions before, but I wanted to bring them up again because there's some questions that definitely need to be asked. And African Americans never really question these things, and they don't ask any questions about, you know, their customs and tradition. So I'd like to pose some of these questions, and if you excuse me for 1 minute here. Number one, in the teaching of Christianity, whose nation and culture is being exhausted and made holy, we know that there has been some statements made by the president that there are many different customs and traditions, and that there are many religions, so we are not just a nation of Christians, but we are a nation of many denominations. I concur with that, ladies and gentlemen, and we are going to have to come to grips with that because it is the truth, and it cannot be denied. Now, what makes Mecca a holy city? I'll throw that out there, and that's a question I'd like to know. What makes it a holy city? Now, as we as African Americans turn our face towards Mecca and pray, and look to Arab to make our prayer, but yet we are Africans and we're praying to another continent that is not where our homeland is. What happens when we do that? What does it mean to say that Muhammad is the last and the most important prophet? Is he? Or is that a statement that Islamic people make because they understand that this is their religion? Now, I'd like to pose another question. How would 100 million Africans adopt, when they adopt the Arab name, when they get the name of an Arab, what does that do to them? Do they become Arab size? Are they now Arabs now that their names have been changed? What does that do to the African Americans who are African? Now, when an African becomes a Muslim, which culture does he or she project? After the African culture or after the Arab culture? So these are some things that have never really been talked about. And when our caller come back in, I'm going to, oh, here he is. I'd like to pose some of these questions to our caller. Yes, caller, you're in the air. How are you this evening?
Hey, peace and blessings. This is Brother Lance. My phone's straight now. Finally, I can hear the broadcast again.
Very good, Brother Lance. We were just throwing some questions out there. Were you able to hear those questions?
I sure wasn't. I'm back up. I was like my phone and whatnot was going. I was plugging up the new phone, so now I can hear everything clear.
Oh, okay. Well, let me try to throw some of them out there. We were just talking about African Americans turning their face to the east to pray towards Mecca, who happen to be Africans, and what
right.
does that do to them when they take on Arab names, and does that affect them as far as? Does that increase the strength of the nation of the Arabs and not Africa? Or has everyone forgotten about Africa? Even though we know we're Africans, we've pretty much become Arab-sized. And how does that affect our other continent that we're from? Does that weaken Africa or does that strengthen Arab?
Well, I still haven't forgotten the far, how the Muslims were killing the Africans over there. I still haven't forgotten that. And whatnot, and how the Muslim, you know, faith, and this might be incited, but how it has been hijacked by kind of sort of the pale-faced Muslims rather than the original black Muslim. So, you know, so when we changing our names and stuff like that and taking on those things and whatnot, we must remember again that before we was Muslim, before we was all these other things, we was black first. And whatnot, and when we take on these other things, you know, like in colleges, they teach us not to, you know, study every other culture, you know, except ethnic black, you know, and stuff like that, because it's power in blackness, it's power, you know, and stuff like that. And so I believe that, you know, they would rather have us put on these other names, you know, so to deny your blackness and whatnot, because there is power in blackness, and there's always been power in black, because they say, matter of fact, white isn't even a color. They say black has all the colors within it, so anything that's taken away from the power, I would say is a bad thing, you know.
Right, Brother Lance. I certainly concur with that. Now, the other question I pose is there a prophet for the African Americans? Now, over in Arab, they gave the Islamic people a prophet. They have their prophet, and Christians have Jesus as a prophet. But who is the African prophet? Do you know, Brother Lance, have you heard of the name of the African prophet?
Now, you're talking to someone who's been Euro in all my schooling. You know, I've been cultured in the Western culture, so I have no idea. You know, I've just been in this journey right now. I'm just finding out stuff now because I'm seeking out things on my own and whatnot outside the box. But you know, to answer your question, you know, I would say, you know, it would sound foolish. I would say Martin Luther King, but I know that's wrong, Lord. I know that's wrong.
Okay.
But,
yeah. And Brother Lance, you are no different than no one else that is anesthetized and asleep. I did not know this myself until I started studying. There is a prophet for Africans, and they call him Oromola, is a prophet that was at the right hand of God. He came to earth and took on the form of a man and a god.
Now can you spell that name again so I can look it up?
I'm going to give you all three of the names so that you can go and research them. And I had to research these names so that I could get a better understanding. It's O-R-U-N-M-I-L-A, Oromila. And Oromila said that human beings became Orishas. And they respond that human beings become Orishas. Now, Orisha is somebody that's been deified who was a saint. And Oromila said that, you know, when someone does good on this earth and that they do such good work like Martin Luther King, they become deified. And when they become deified, they are wrecked, just like statues are wrecked.
Well, similar to the Catholic religion, how they do the saints.
Well, that's right. They actually never let that person die as a saint. So he is considered as a lesser deity, an expression of God. So he lives forever in the form of a deification. Not to say that this is a statue. It's a representation of that person, so he can never die. But Oromila was at the inception of God. He was at the inception of man. When you and I were born and we asked to come here, Oromila was sitting at the right-hand side of God, and Oromila witnessed each one of us asking to come here to this earth. So Oromila knows all. So whenever there's a question that needs to be asked, you consult Oromila.
Are you citing this from a written work or a passed-down oral work and stuff like that?
This is from a book that you can get. This book is called, let me give you a name.
So it's like the African Bible. Is that what you're saying?
It's
about
an African Bible, and you can find the divinations, which actually give you the readings. That's one book, and then Oludumare, the God of the Yoruba belief, and that's by Aben Bola.
Right.
B-O-L-A-J-I.
Yeah, because when I was looking up the Ifa and whatnot, it was basically just talking about the palm nut situation, but how they use the 16 nuts and what.
Right. The 16 colon nuts are very, very
important.
Dealing
with the divination.
Those 16 colon nuts actually have a mouth, and they can speak, and they give information. And Oludumare, at one point, would do the divinations to get an answer. He knows the inception of illness, the origin of illness. He knows the solution to all problems. And a large amount of professional doctors, lawyers, statisticians, they all consult Ifa, they all consult Oromila to get an answer to the mysteries of the world. And Oromila has been known about for a long time, and the 16 colon nuts that you're talking about, those 16 colon nuts have a mouth, and each one of them speak, and as you begin to grasp those and have better understanding, when they grasp those as the Bible law, they will make a marking, and the marking will result in a reading. That reading is found in a divination book that will tell you the solution for problems, for issues, or for what have you. If you are struggling through a situation where you need an answer, Oromila can speak to you and give you the answer. He is the one that he's confided in for all solutions. So he is our prophet. And this is definitely something African Americans need to know. Now
this is something
speaking,
that the West Africans brought with them from slavery. That they you know, like I said again, a lot of my, you know, as a spoken word artist, like some of my friends are, you know, into the Santeria and stuff like that.
Santeria is a little different from Yoruba, but however, Santeria took their religion from Yoruba and they disguised it in the Catholic faith with the saints.
Exactly,
and
which they
the
had
same
to do with self-preservation,
order.
You know, when they came over here. You know, or they would not
killed. Order. It, you know this, that Santeria is on like the same order. You have the saints, but we have deities. And they also have each one of these deities, the 16 Odus are the reading, but each one of these deities, basically there are about seven of them that are known ones that we work with. But those seven, each one of them have a personality.
Now, are you talking about like Shango and Oshun and Yemiyana?
Yeah, they have the names of Oshun, Oduduwa, Obatala, Shango, Legba, Yamenja. They each have a different name.
I remember Legba, he was a trickster.
Well, every every denomination, as they're explaining to you about what their characters are, know this, that when they give you the different characters, you got to study them, because if you have a reading done, they're going to tell you which one is on your head. One of these are on your head, so they're your mother's spirit or your father's spirit. And as you
again, that's why I said I had that done, you know, when I was going with this young lady in Florida a while ago, and they told me it was Shango, you know, because I like sweets and I like a lot of them other things.
Well,
and,
that's not how you do it. So you wouldn't just get a reading like that. They would have to do a reading, and the reading would have to show what Oromola saw. And you asked to come here at the inception of your birth. What were you asking to come here for? And then during the reading, it would show who is on, who's your mother's spirit and who's your father's spirit. And these are the ones that you pay homage to when you do your rituals and your prayers. You pay homage to
And the understanding of it is like, because of my faith now, there's in direct contradiction to that, you know. So, you know, you understand my dilemma.
Well, see, you're right now in a double standard. And that's why I had indicated to you earlier that you're going to have to make a choice down the road. However, when you're learning these things, you try to make them applicable to what you've learned. It won't work, because how do you define a system that talks about understanding 400 plus 1 on the right side and 200 plus 1 on the left side, meaning the right side meaning the positive good and the left side meaning wicked and sort of like that sphinxster that you were talking about, the trickster. So how do you explain a traditional religion that doesn't know the concept of a devil, and how do you make that applicable to the African religion? Now, let me kind of get into my subject so you think you see what I'm trying to say. We were talking about
the
four spirits. And ladies and gentlemen, our topic today was on the four spirits, and I'm just going to kind of regurgitate what we talked about before, how the spirits have to divide. And we talked about whatsoever is above is below. So when you die, your spirit does not die. There's something called Imi. The spirit leaves the body. And the rattling in the body when the person dies is Imi. And that is the name they give Imi for the body rattling. And that's still energy rattling in the body. However, it separates from the soul. The soul and the spirit are two different things. That's why when you talk about the soul brother and people having more spirit than other people, those are connotations that they put out there because the soul and the spirit are different. You are flesh and blood. Your flesh and blood cannot inherit spiritual things. So your soul,
right.
Your spirit has to be separated from your flesh. Your flesh goes back to the dirt. However, when they begin to weigh your spirit, your heart must weigh out as light as a feather, meaning your good deeds must outweigh your bad. So there is a whole cycle that your soul goes through for being judged, and there is a whole process that has to happen. But the part that I wanted to bring to your attention is that you have to feed the soul. You have to feed the spirit. And just like everything else has to be nourished. That is why when we talk about African ancestors, they are spirits. They have to be fed. They have to be fed. And
yeah, she used to have them on the floor in the house. She had like a spread of them and stuff like fruits and stuff like that. And
they have to be fed. They have to have light so they can see. That's why a candle is lit, so they can be guided. They also have to have food, and there are various different foods that they are accustomed to enjoying. So they are spirits that have to be fed, just like your spirit has to be fed.
Yeah,
and
they even got problems
have
with certain colored candles. They want their own,
right.
own colored candles and stuff.
You have to know all of the colors that go with them. They have certain colors and certain days of the week. Now, the days of the week are very important because they give you a different day of the week that you do business on, that you consult the doctor. There are days where you would not go and do business or not travel because these days are connected to all of the deities. The deities have two colors preferably, some of them one color, and they also have a day of the week. And each one of these deities you pay homage to, but they do not come before Oladulamore, who is the god of the Yoruba god. Now, let me get into those three gods so that you understand what they mean by these three gods. But because you have to put them in a proper perspective. Some people think, well, you're a monotheistic, but that's not the case. You have an almighty God who created the universe. He only had concern with creating the universe. He had no concern with the issues of men. So he assigned you a personal God. Your personal God resides within you. He stays with you, and that is Ori. He is sort of like your guardian angel. But Oluduamare is the almighty God who resides over the heavens, who created the heavens and earth. Then you have Ilede. Ilede is the God that resides over the outer courts of heaven, the outer rims, anything that deals with that. And then you have Olurum. Olurum is basically the God that is a part of Oluri. Olurum has the issues of what goes on around men. He's basically the prophet who is working with you. So in knowing who our prophet is, it helps us to understand that God has no the Almighty God has no concern with your issue. He has been too busy working on the earth that he does not get into the affairs of a man. That is why he gives you your personal God, Ori.
Now, again, I would say that, you know, just from the Christian faith, again, you know, as well as the Jewish faith and whatnot, they talk about the monotheism of God. He is concerned about he is everywhere at the same time, and everything.
I'm trying to tell you, you have to get it as a hierarchy, and the hierarchy is the Almighty God is not approachable. That's why you've been assigned.
I mean, what you're saying is in direct, opposition.
You know
to what
how the rank
taught.
And order of like a military, you cannot get to the colonel until you have gone down to a PO or something like that. It is the same hierarchy structure. And then if you are assigned an OLE who can deal with your affairs here, then truly you really have no business wasting God's time at the higher level because your OLE.
No, what we call them is angels. And whatnot, you know, angels that are assigned to each and every
right,
one of us,
right.
And stuff like that,
like the
and they guide us. You know,
the same thing as angels.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's what's happening. Is like, you know, I think, you know, we do the same thing because, like, even in the Muslim religion, they say everyone is born a Muslim. You know, whether they believe in it or not, everyone is born one, and they just got to find their way to it or something like that. You know, I think that's
right.
The,
and see, if
the
you,
way,
if you, Lance, if you look at this whole thing, you'll see that. African religion, Christianity is light years behind African religion. Christianity is so new, it's a baby, where if you look at Ifa and African tradition, they were all religion. There was no books created for them. They passed down their religion. I was taught this through an oral process, and then we created the books to go with us. We keep our notes in. But it was meant to be an oral religion passed down. It was passed down,
right.
And it's a way of life. It's not really a religion. It's a way of life. A way of life means you get up and pray in the morning, and you meet your Olorun or Ilede and Owi. You meet them every day with a prayer. You greet them with a prayer. You go to bed.
Now, do you have your head in your house somewhere at a high part in your room, in one of your rooms somewhere?
Well, basically, I am not here to talk about what I'm doing in my, because see, that's not what this class is about. It's not really, I'm not teaching how to be a priest because that is sacred information and certain amount of information in being a secret society is not for the neophyte. The neophytes wouldn't know what to do with all that information. And it's very, very dangerous to give a person more information than what they know what to do with. Now, you apparently have been involved with the Kings and know something about the divinations, but you have to know what to do. And for you to learn 1,246 Odu, then that means you become a lifetime student. And most people that say that they're priests, I question it, because if they don't know the 1,246 Odus by heart, then they're still a student. That's why I tell people I'm still a student in the priesthood, because you have to memorize these Odus. And there are a lot of priests who can regurgitate the information, and then there's a lot who can't even do prayer, who can't even read in Yoruba. So it is a process, and a lot of what we learn in understanding the divinations is reserved for the Babalawos. okay?
Okay.
As well as the singing, I guess, as well, you know, because in the poetry community, some of the poet students of Orisha and stuff like that, or Yoruba, whatever, they would sing pieces of songs and then they would do their poems or something like that.
Oh, yeah. See, the songs, we taught the songs, and that is when you have the bembe. The bembe will allow you to do the songs, and each song goes with an Orisha. So everyone learns the songs. I know the songs.
Right.
We do the dances to go with it. And when you do the dances and the songs, what you're doing is invoking a spirit. You're just like in the Christian churches, when you see people that invoke the spirit to get happy or to dance in the spirit, it's the same thing. They stole
like
that
taking them under the drum
the
or something like that, I think they call it.
It
like
came from
under the drum.
Do you hear what I'm saying, Brother Lance? It came from Africa. They brought that with them. That is not a Christian thing. That is an African thing. The preacher is getting you higher and higher to invoke the spirit. And what's supposed to happen when you used to hear people say, oh, well, he's speaking in tongues to the congregation. In reality, that's not how it goes. When that person becomes possessed, they will speak to the people, and there must be an interpreter there, just like with Ifa, when the dancer becomes invoked. She normally interprets what she's saying to the people. She will speak it in a different language, and then she'll come back and give her own definition, whereas in the Christian community, they'll say that unless there is someone there that can interpret that, then that person needs to stop speaking. However,
well, not necessarily, like, you know, because, again, I'm still, you know, in that faith wherein when we speak in tongues, sometimes, you know, God will give you private interpretation of what you're saying if it's just for you.
Well, see, that's two different terms. You got the one where they speak to the congregation, and one where you have a personal relationship going on. With the Africans, you can have your personal, but when you're in public, you primarily are speaking to the congregation. You're pushing yourself to get invoked. Invoke meaning you wanted to be possessed by a spirit so that it will help you to decipher problems, to work things out. So when you come out of that trance, whatever that problem was you went in with, you have pretty much worked it out for yourself, or you've given a solution for the community. So it's
right.
A purpose behind that. And bembe is needs to really happen in African-American communities now because there's a lot of sick people. And with the bembe, it would allow for them to rid themselves or to address this illness or problem that they're trying to work out. So there's a purpose for that. Now,
I believe that certain spirits are with these foods that we're eating as well that's making us sick like this. I kind of agree with that 100% because, you know, that's why we got to watch the foods that we put inside our body.
I have a question to ask you. You said something very important. You said, now, I know that you have, you're 50%. Christian, and then you're trying to understand the African thing, too. What I'm going to say for you, Brother Lance, is that you are seeking, and you really, really, really need to go in prayer because you don't want to have step and be lukewarm at anything because God's out. But you do want to be able to give ample time to the study because it's a lifetime study. And believe you me, it's not something you can have step and say I'm in the Christian today and I'm in the
I haven't made that decision to do that,
Let me say this. It's not about making a decision. If the spirits are trying to teach you, you can't be in both faiths. And I know this because I'm an evangelist and went through traditional training as a minister. I saw that it was not strong enough. I saw that there's some things that are not explainable, whereas if you are going into this religion, everything is explained, and there's a reason for doing everything, and there's nothing left to chance where they say just believe it by faith. You have to have, in this faith, you have to have documentation to substantiate everything you're doing. Nothing is left to faith in this particular practice.
I remember years ago, a friend of mine had to pay so much money to be an initiate, and that turned me off to the whole thing.
Well, no, not all of them are done like that. I mean, you see me offering training now. It depends on where you go to become a priest. Everybody's not suited to become a priest. It is, you have to learn healing. You have to learn herbology. So everyone what we need now for our African community is that they have customs and rituals and tradition, and that's all I'm trying to give you because
We do need to get that back, though, just keeping it real, because they stole that from us.
A priest, it's a lifetime to become a priest.
You know, we do need to get our black culture back and our identity. You know, like W.E.B. Du Bois and I was teaching in college and whatnot. That's the one thing that they took from us when we came over here. You know, if they take away your identity, then all you got left is to take on someone else's identity and someone else's language,
well,
and someone
true.
Else's clothes.
But see, Brother Lance, information is very plentiful to us now, and we have access to all of our tradition. And now we cannot use that excuse that they took it away. Now that we are conscious and awake, we can pursue our customs and traditions now. But we've been so engulfed in Eurocentric thinking that we seem to think that it would be too much like white to wear hair in a kinky twist or to wear afro. Or to go back to any of our customs.
I kind of love our folks wearing the natural. That's just me, praise the Lord.
It would be to our benefit, I think, to explore it, because a lot of this stuff that we've gotten has gone bad. The whole system of this particular economic system has been turned upside down. So what harm could it do? We're already searching for something to get us out of this mess. So why not try EFI to see if EFI is a solution for helping us to get back to ourselves. And I said this to you, Lev, that you should take up some prayer and also fasting to ask God where he actually is leading you. And because I had to completely disconnect and go on a sabbatical from Christianity. I couldn't do both. I just couldn't. It wouldn't be fair.
I don't see myself doing that. You know, and stuff like that. I can say that. You know, I can see myself, you know, taking from the various faiths and whatnot, you know, what's supposed to be for me and whatnot, you know, because I think that we got something in all faiths, because, like, in the very beginning, you know, there is the Creator who has something for all of us.
And
the journey
that
we live in, we have to find our own way.
Christianity was not your faith. It was 20% of people who willingly became Christian. And if you really know what happened, Constantine, during a certain particular time in era, Constantine decided to demand that all people become Christians because he had perverted Christianity and turned it over into a religion where you really are not worshiping the true Christianity.
Pre-Constantine. Well, pre-Constantine, you go back to the prophet Jesus.
Go and read that book, the Constantine story, where he actually gave you Christianity. He did not give you the authentic. See, Jesus used to be a way seeker of smooth things, and Jesus went out of the picture. Constantine gave you a program that he pushed on everyone, and he killed.
What he did with the Sabbath, wherein, you know, when the Sabbath was set up on Saturday. I see Constantine came up worshiping the sun and turned that into a Sunday worship. And then the church took that on. So I see how he did that.
Now, if you really awake, I'm going to test you. If you really awake, if you can see that Constantine did not have the best heart of the people and that he really did not want people worshiping Jesus Christ, he wanted to give the people a false religion to worship under his rulership. You are not worshiping under the
Christianity. Well, I see that. You know,
This is why we're falling into all of these. See, if you look at where it all came from, the heart of all of this stuff came from men who were engaged in a lot of stuff that are not authentic Christian things, such as someone being a monk, not participating in marriage, not participating in intercourse. Now you got all these homosexuals running around. It was based
on a lot
of stuff that didn't come from Christianity. So you
right
got to go back and
God.
Say,
that's right.
How wrong could I get if I go back to study something that was traditionally ours? That's the way I look at it.
Omiyinka, am I saying your name right? Omiyinka?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my take. I believe that, you know, there's a neat thing in me that I was born with, the spirit. Wherein the Bible says that the spirit search for all things, yea, the deep things of God. So I believe that I'm being led on a journey, and the Creator is going to lead me to where I need to be at. He's going to lead me
Absolutely.
To the people I need to talk to. He's going to lead me to the wisdom that I need to seek, because it's not satisfied with just the status quo. It's the spirit search of all things. You know, so that would be, it goes outside the box sometimes, and that's where you find me at, outside the box. So you know, I'm not embracing everything, but I'm not rejecting everything either. I'm accepting as my journey allows me to.
It sounds like to me, to Brother Lance, that you don't play around with fire if you know you're gonna get burned, because when you get burned, it throws you. You know, if you take that snake and put it up to your chest, and you knew the nature of the snake was to bite you.
I go back to the spirit.
Is that you're searching, and by you searching, usually God is a diligent rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, truly seeking and trying to find an answer, he will reveal it to you. But what could be more natural than being yourself? You're already African, and this is who you are. You couldn't change that scar on your face, the mark of darkness, if you wanted to. The main thing is customs and rituals and traditions have to be practiced. Either churches are going to have to go back and say, look, what we're teaching African-American is Eurocentric. It's not done anything
for us. I will say this, like you said, Constantine.
We got to get some rituals.
Christianity has been hijacked by Constantine and the like of the Druids and a lot of those pagan stuff that crept into the church. So that has happened.
What do you think homosexuality came from? What do you think that came from? It was latently heavy in the church.
What you want my direct answer, my non politically correct answer, it came from the devil.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know that. But I mean, where else do you think? But men had to bring it here too, you know. The devil did.
What I'm saying to you is that I believe that there were fallen angels, and these fallen angels are still among us teaching different doctrines. And these fallen angels are among us, still influencing men.
Is, if it was systemically in the teachings of the Bible, it had to be somewhere in the systemic of customs and tradition. And if it was a custom and tradition, and we're practicing it as black people, then we're out of our mind, our ever-loving mind, because it's not a custom and tradition of ours. But yet you will find some customs and traditions who were engaged in this.
I'll even go a step further. You even have in the Ifrit religion, in the Yoruba, you even got a different sect of them now practicing that stuff, practicing homosexuality.
Say that one now.
In the West African religion, dealing with the deities in Orisha and Yoruba, you have a new sect of homosexuals practicing that art now, which goes directly against the teaching of that art.
Because Ifa does not believe in homosexuality. They have slipped into the organization, but Africans did not know of homosexuality. It didn't exist in Africa. And now that it's become Europeanized and a lot of this has been coming to America, you got some people that want the power. So they slipped into the organization and they want their rights, just like every gay right person wants to fight for their rights. They're fighting for this religion because they want the power. So my point being
that it was an outside influence that came in, and what I say these outside influences are these watchers that are among us, and these fallen angels that are influencing different religions,
and different people. We've gotten way off topic. Let me go back, because see, you're still a babe at a lot of things I see, and so we got to deal with some real things. What do you call me, baby?
That's cool too.
I'm saying you're still a babe in the area that you're searching, and you said that you're going to hold on. Yes, as a Christian, I say hold on to what you got. I mean, because that's what you're rooted in, because I was a Christian rooted in that. However, I needed to be rooted in my customs and tradition. I was basically starving and probably illiterate when it came to customs and tradition. Now, to me, customs and traditions are very important, because our illnesses, our problems, our sicknesses have come from us being outside of ourselves, disconnected. Most of our mental health and our problems have come from us going through a middle passage suppression. We suppress our hurts so much that we don't realize that our actual customs are what have been used to heal us with. And we can't go back to it because we're so indoctrinated in Eurocentric thinking. You have got to get out of their minds and get in your right mind, your African mind. Are you there?
Can I was about to say amen. Can I say amen, sister? Can I say amen?
Okay. And you know what? And I don't know what is going on here. They keep taking me out for here. But what I'm getting ready to do, Brother Lance, if they ever bring me back on here, because I don't know what's going on.
Ah,
oh, here we go. They got a second here. I'm just going to say good evening on this line. But, well, you know, we're still recording. They still got us recording, I see here.
Right.
Now, what I was going to say, Brother Lance, is that one thing we have got to remember, and that is it's okay to be ourselves. We've been everything in the world but ourselves. And believe you me, I started seeking and searching. I found truth in Islamic because I meditated. I found truth in Christian Science because I believe that we have got to know mind over matter. I found a bit
right.
of truth in a large amount of religion and saw that all of it was leading me back to African faith because I could go in and understand what it meant to be African, something that I was starved of and it was kept away from me for so long, not loving myself for who I was, my kinky hair, my thick lips, my dark skin, not loving myself and knowing that it is absolutely okay to love yourself. And part of what we've done is turn in on ourselves, and you find all of these homicides being created by our own people because of them having this mere Willie Lynch romanticized and hating themselves, and we are being a self-fulfilling prophecy where we are starting to turn in on ourselves, and we're self-destructing because of us not loving ourselves enough in our rituals and our traditions.
Well, back in the day, we at least had the Jale, the older person, reminding us, but we don't even have that in our family reunions anymore, reminding us of who we are, who our ancestors are, who our people are. They don't even do that anymore. It's all about partying now, and you know, and who's your famous relative rather than, you know, the oral history going back. I don't even think we Do you practice that at your family? Your oral history of, you know, of the religion.
Well,
and the,
you know
some
I
of that,
come from
that,
a long. I do come from a long line of elders. A lot of elders that live to be 100 years old. Matter of fact. My sister is.
How old are you, woman of God? You know, if you don't mind me asking.
Oh, I don't want to even put that out in the atmosphere. We're not going to talk about how old I am.
Oh, see, because I was just about to
mess
with you. I was
about
to say, see, I could have been your elder. You could have asked me permission to speak.
I could ask. Okay, I've already asked permission to speak from my elder. But what you're saying is so true, Brother Lance. There needs to be an extension of the family in the home, and it's very
right.
important that we have family members at extension in our family. I always had elderly people that were connected to my family, and I wanted my
right.
children to have that. So God blessed me so that I could have my sister here in my home to help my boys see that there's an extension of eldership here, and they respect that. And I think that once we get that down pat and understanding that maybe these mothers can get some help with raising their children, and they won't be
right.
so modernized mm-hmm. and connected to material things. They're trying to give their kid everything. Come on, I never had it, so I want to give it to my children. Your children don't
right.
need everything. Maybe you didn't have it, so you wouldn't even have the desire to give it to your children. Now we're trying to give our children every darn thing they want.
Well, that was when, you know, that's why I said the Black Panthers saved us for a little bit, because Black people are looking for something to believe in. And they've been so disillusioned, you know, by various faiths or whatever, that now, you know, I remember when, I was talking with this young lady that came up under Elijah Muhammad and them, and when he died, and his son said that we taught y'all wrong, it was like the way we were teaching was like reactionary to the racism here in America, but it wasn't the real, Muslim faith. A lot of people just turned to violence, they turned to selling drugs, they got disillusioned. And then after the Black Panther movie, you know, just being proud of being Black, but then they got infiltrated on, and then the same thing happened with that. So we, you know, instead of money and things, you know, we need to get, you know, our culture back and that pride back in us, and then maybe we'll come off these drugs, we'll start going, you know, children out of wedlock or whatever. Maybe we will come back, but we don't have any teaching. Because like right now, you know, the teaching has been taught that it's a bad thing, you know, because of all the movies or whatever. So you know,
yeah.
So with that said,
and
you
I
know,
hear what you're saying. It sounds like right now, people have perverted what little training we had available with the nation, and with the past they tried to pervert it. However, if we get customs and traditions for ourselves and implant them in our lives with Kujichagulia, self-determination, Ujima, and the seven principles of Kwanzaa, and incorporate them on a day-to-day basis. And all I'm doing, Brother Lance, is trying to get into the households of people and let them see how I practice throughout the year. I incorporate the seven principles of Malala Karinga, and I put the seven principles of Kwanzaa in my life and incorporate them. And incorporating them, it brings about rituals, and prayer is a big thing in my house, and we're prayer worshipers and intercessors. So it really, really, I've been called to become an intercessor, so it's important that I teach people how to pray and intercede.
And as well as I am, you know, I've been, you know, prayer, and prayer is a two conversation. We pray for other people, but then we get our response back, you know, from our Creator and stuff like that. So, you know, that's why I believe that I'm on my personal journey. I believe everyone's journey is personal, and that they're led, you know, they're led to that. If they listen to that discerning spirit inside, and it leads them and it guides them, you know, and stuff like that, to with the knowledge that they're supposed to lead to the person that they're supposed to talk to, and then they go to the next. You know, they say, what is my assignment? You know, that's what I ask myself.
Well,
what is my assignment?
I really think that you being in the Christian church, you're probably at a different level than most of the congregation and your counterparts because of the wisdom that you've had from rubbing shoulders with other people that are involved with cross-examining all religions and involved with gathering documents and information. That allows you to be more broad-minded and not stuck on chosen viewpoints, so then you don't have to judge when you're counseling. Spiritually counseling other people, you have more to work with because you have a broader base, and
that's what I was trying to say earlier at our first meeting. Because I remember you came to me kind of hard on me. I'm trying to told you like you need to find the right thing. You need to do this. You know, I see something, and I said wow. I said, now if I came like that, it would have been like
Let me clarify that, Brother Les. What I was saying is that I wasn't sure.
You came kind of hard.
The way I came to you, Brother Lance, is because, you know, there's a lot of people who are trying to shut down conscious people, and you don't ever know which angle they're coming from. They come in the form of a godly sheep, and then in reality they're trying to undergird you and destroy you all at the same time. I've seen that.
Okay.
Because Christians are taught to do that. We got to shut them down. We got to close them down. Christians are taught to do that, and sometimes they mess up, and they come and end up getting drafted and find out, ooh, I call myself coming to shut them down. Now I've been drafted. Now
I was glad that you knew that wasn't my my thing. You know, I came in seeking.
I really didn't know where you was coming from, Brother Lance. I really didn't, because, you know, here you had this big following with the Christians, and then at the same time you were searching with all of these kinds of people. So after a while, you're going to get to a point where you're going to have to say, my God, you know, am I going to use this to broaden my people's knowledge in the church and make them more accountable and wake them up? Or am I going
how
long must you halt between two different opinions? That's what I'm asking you. And it won't be long, my brother, because you know why.
You was a preacher, wasn't
you? Let me finish my point. Cannot halt against two opinions. God is getting ready to do something in your life, and I saw it. God is getting ready to take you to another level, Brother Lance, because see, the people you are with, they are not at your level. And eventually, they're going to be scared of you for the knowledge you have. And you ain't going to have to worry about it. You're going to soon go up the ladder and go to another level.
One thing I know that God has been dealing with me with is empowering the people to get the power back, you know, and stuff like that, you know, to stop blaming people, places, and things for their situation and take your authority back, you know, to not be a victim mentality.
You're going to have to really, really do a different job with them. See, your foundation systemically is wrong. And when you take a European foundation to base a religion on for African people, they're worshiping, it's idolatry worship. That's what you call idolatry worship. They're worshiping a God that they know nothing about. They're praying to a God that can hear them.
Again, the same thing that you said, that we say the same thing about what you do, but I don't say that. You see what I'm saying? I'm just saying that,
right,
you know.
But no, what I'm saying is that at least I'm praying to I'm calling on an African God that I know that is in my culture,
God is bigger than color.
We're not putting the name to God. We're just saying God. Which God are
but
you talking about?
But you know what I'm saying? We say that to the name. They were in the Bible. They were talking about to the unknown God, the God that was above everybody. You know what I mean? And which was bigger than color, was bigger than race. Because some people believe that women can't speak to him. You know, some people believe that young people can't speak to him.
You must remember, see, when you have these this army that came in, took over and took religion hostage, took over, and all of a sudden handed it back to you, said, now it's okay to practice it. Somebody's antenna should have won.
And then it was perverted.
What are they giving up?
They give it back to
it's
them.
Almost like
I don't know if you do this, but if somebody drink out of a cup
somebody decided to treat smallpox, and they're gonna give you an injection for smallpox. But in the meantime, they said let's add a little of this AIDS with it, so we're gonna inject them with AIDS. All under the disguise.
It was done before with the Tuskegee experiment, right? You know, so it's not you're not talking in whatever. They did it before with the Tuskegee experiment.
It's probable again. But my point is saying to you is that when you have a systemic religion that we could not even practice, that we could not even be a part of, they refuse to even let us be in the church. Now when Constantine gives it back to us, it's okay for us to practice. I tend to want to question what part of that was for us that was African. What part of that may have not really been for us. We've been fighting to become Christians.
But look at the slavery of all people was like that.
And now,
like,
the
Jews were in slavery. The Africans were in slavery, you know, in bondage. And when he got kidnapped by these people, they had to take on, like, the Babylonians. When the Babylonians took over the Jews, they made them
and
do
you
what
know
they
do. You're a very learned man, and I know you're a researcher. They cannot find any substantial evidence that certain people were ever in bondage over in various different locations. When you begin to start to look at all this stuff and you see the lies that were told, a lot of people have gotten so disenfranchised and questioned so much about what is true. That's why I'm saying you, a student, continue to study, a workman needing not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth, because there's a and then you find all this other stuff that's been made up.
But I'm not lying to you.
I went through theology school. I wasn't the kind that just sit up under my professor's feet. I went and spent my money and went 2 years in theology school and went through a traditional program right in Chicago and had the best training. But a lot of it was falsified information.
When I studied Josephus and whatnot, you know, a lot of people, it's how you look at Josephus, because I look at Josephus as what he really was. A lot of people look at Josephus as a Jewish historian, wrote a lot of Jewish history, blah, blah, blah. I look at him as a traitor when you know, so then you got to ask about his motives of writing stuff down, because he was originally a Pharisee or a Jew or something like that, but when the war went down, the religious war, the crusade that was going on, he changed sides so he can get a title.
And Brother Lance, you know, I'm looking at my screen here, and I do want to talk to you further about the subject, but I'm going to close the screen out so that they won't.
Right, and I think we should still be online when you do that. Or not. Okay, I think I still got you.
Give me a call back, and we will definitely talk on the subject. And Baba Booey to you, y'all. And we will talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place. Please come in with your questions. We have Brother Lance on the line. We've been talking about religion, and we've also been talking about the four souls, ladies and gentlemen, and the four souls. What is the purpose of the four souls? Why do you have the four souls, and how do they divide? We'll be back tomorrow at the same time, and we'll be in the air talking to you tomorrow. Brother Lance, you take care. Look forward to hearing from you again. Give me a call so we can talk further. Enjoyed your conversation. All as always, we say, oh, double. I'll see you, Brother Lance. Bye-bye.
God bless. I'll see you.